Hey everybody, Zach here. So, you know, when we first started this, we had a lot of technical hiccups. We've definitely still had them here or there, but I feel like we definitely take a little bit of pride in the fact that we've gotten better at this. But stuff still happens. We have six people recording, and there's a lot of points of failure. And stuff can still happen. Unfortunately, this week, one of those things did. One of the second half of my track for this episode was corrupted. And even though we have two separate backups, a software backup and a physical backup, neither of those worked for us this week, which means that basically I only have the first half of this episode. We tried to figure out what to do about that, but ultimately figured that, unfortunately, there wasn't really any way to save it. So I'm going to give you all the first half of the episode and then try something sort of new and weird that won't be as good as the original, but I'm going to try something to wrap up the end of the episode. I hope you still enjoy it, and I do apologize and hope you guys stick with us. But the good news is you guys get to hear Jules explain about Kiba Ranger, which is the White Ranger, and how that whole thing happened. The bad news is you're going to miss a real good Dunkaroos joke we made in the second half. But, you know, just think about it. Just think about how good that Dunkaroos joke would have been. Anyway, we're going to get started here in a second. I apologize again. Hope you stick with us. And we've changed our backup solutions, so hopefully it won't happen again anytime soon. Thanks, guys.
Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up, Alpha Ro?
Bring me your teens. Teenagers with attitude.
Everybody, welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters. I'll explain what just happened in a second.
No, don't explain it.
That's true. I'm Zach, and joining me this week we've got Joel.
Hi, yeah, that's me. What's up?
We've got Mike.
Hey, it's Mike.
We've got Matt.
It's Matt.
Our friend Jules is here to school us on some stuff in just a little bit.
Wow, you just skipped right over Simon, huh?
Well, usually I introduce
I'm the one with the story this week, I guess.
Yeah. Usually I introduce the guests last, but you get to talk a bunch in a second. And I want to talk to Simon real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. No problem.
Hi. Most of me is here.
Yeah, so Simon, you had an accident this week. Do you want to talk about it?
I slipped on some ice, fell right onto my left hand, and broke my wrist, and now I have to wear this brace for like 3 weeks, which is why I couldn't clap to signify the start of the recording, so I just yelled clap instead, and that's why Joel was laughing
at me. And then everyone laughed, because we're children, and we can't help it. So, Now, repeated listeners may remember you have a small baby.
I do.
How's that going?
I'm learning some new techniques. Well, first of all, I have a nice support network that's been coming over to help me most days to take care of him, which is super appreciated. My family is great people, And also, yeah, slowly developing new techniques such as like sweeping his whole body under my arm to pick him up and stuff like that. It's awkward. Awesome. It's difficult.
You've unlocked a new like column Baby. Of the dad skill tree.
Yeah, yes. Basically, one-handed is the new tree I'm working on right now. Yeah.
Simon, did you inadvertently become like the DC like Justice League Unlimited version of Aquaman?
I don't have a cool hook. I just have a brace, and my arm hurts and stinks real bad instead. So that's great.
Also. Also, he can make an arm out of poutine gravy that he controls with his mind, which is pretty cool.
Great. Yep.
So last thing, Simon, that I'm going to pick on you, and then we'll move on. My wife, Adrienne, was reading my Facebook over my shoulder, and she saw the adorable picture of Arthur on a Rocky horse or moose,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
And she was like, wait, how old is he? And I was like,
he's 10 months
less
old.
Than a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was like, that baby is 3 feet tall.
there's probably some kind of perspective trick to that photo or something, because I don't think he's 3 feet tall. He's not.
That's a tiny rocking moose.
He might be, because like for listeners who don't know, Simon is an actual literal giant.
So. Yeah. I'm very tall, but it's not like a proportional thing. He's not literally like, he didn't start off being already like a foot. Wait, no, a foot is not very much at all. Anyway, he didn't like come out already a giant baby. That's not how it works. He has to reach puberty first before he becomes a giant. So I'm pretty sure he's normal baby size.
Before he becomes
right
a giant baby. No, yeah, that's how puberty works.
When you hit puberty.
I mean, yes, accurate.
I was definitely a giant baby at that time.
Yeah, no, same, totally.
So anyway, I'm sorry to pick on you, but it just I love that story. It made me very happy. So, Jules, hi.
Hi.
Welcome
it's been
back
a while.
To the show. Yeah. You know, we switched our recording time, and it's been tough to get you on since you're in Australia, and it's just been tough to match it up. But we knew we had to get you on because since we've had you on last, well, a bunch of dumb shit's happened. But most importantly,
a bunch of dumb shit has happened.
But most importantly, we have the White Ranger now, which is the only Ranger from Die Ranger that actually appears in Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. And we wanted you to talk about the White Ranger specifically. We mentioned that he's a child, but that's really all I know about him. But maybe give us a little background on Die Ranger too, since I think all we've really said is like, we're pretty sure it's based on Chinese mythology. Is that correct? Is that
yes.
Right?
I was very happy. Okay. I listened to your show.
Thank you, Joel.
Follow up question.
Oh God, sorry.
Yeah. So when you all like said, "Oh, Chinese mythology," and you're getting most of the animals, where I was like, "Okay, I don't need to yell at them. This is good. This is good."
You're gonna yell at us anyway, I'm sure.
And then we fucked
no,
up something.
Yell at you.
I'm sure.
Listen, it's still not as bad as the way Zach once said, "Juoja." I'm still never going to let you...
You
I'm
mean Juager, or whatever
no,
the
No, that's
fuck
not even
I
the
said.
Right wrong
Yeah, the Tower of
you
Juager.
You said God. Anyway, oh, geez, where to start? So, Gosei Sentai Die Ranger was the Sentai series to appear after G-Ranger and everything. And... I'm really bummed they've never adapted this, because it's a really good season for what I've seen, and I'm really pissed, because...
I'm sorry, I'll forget if I don't mention this now. Apparently Bandai just came out and said that
Juoja,
is not going to be adapted because, quote, the cube animals are not workable.
What?
I was like, what the fuck are you talking
these,
about?
These Zords are divas. You just can't work with them. You try to get them to fight.
No, oh, no, jeez. The kids these days aren't going to like a fucking Minecraft Zord. No, they'll never
what
catch
the fuck?
On.
That's the craziest thing in the world. It's such an obvious, like,
Yeah, I remember when we were first like way back in the early days of this podcast, we were seeing the news and the announcements and the reveal of the Zords for Juojo, and we were like, oh fuck, cubes, kids will love that. The youngsters are into the Minecraft. That's a like, brilliant design.
Minecraft, it's almost like already... Bandai and Saban are run by old people who don't know what the fuck kids want.
They were like, we tried to title this Power Rangers series and we just couldn't find a way to fit the word thunder in there. It would have been Cube Thunder, which is dumb, so we just didn't bother.
I don't know, Thunder Cube sounds pretty rad to me.
Yeah, oh yeah, Thunder didn't get that far. Awesome.
I kind of think Thunder Cube Force would have been a really good name, though.
That's all right.
I mean, it's a great fifth level spell.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
Julius.
No, but now I've got to stop myself from yelling about how good Juojo is. But anyway, because that's another topic. So yes, Gosei Sentai Dairanger is primarily based around Chinese myth. Loosely, like, there's kind of a thing. So this is a personal like beef of mine in that you don't really have the same huge media surrounding like in China that's similar to like manga and anime and toku.
Okay.
Which bums me out as a Chinese person sometimes because it's like, yeah, there's, you know, manhwa and stuff, which is our version of manga, but you know, like, a lot of... I grew up believing a lot of anime was Chinese because I was listening to, like, Cantonese versions, and I thought, this is cool, Chinese cartoons. Nope, I've been fooled. Great.
Oh, no.
So it's... And it's always the case where you can't help that when countries like that are so closely tied in both myth and everything, and as well as location and geography, that things are going to, like, bleed over.
Sure.
But it's always the case where, man, toku and anime really like taking from Chinese history and myth, and that's okay, but, like...
I mean, that's kind of Japan's whole bag, isn't it?
Part of it. I mean, you've got some... I could go
you
into
mean
a lot of
stealing China's
stuff.
Shit and claiming it was always theirs? Yeah, that's kind of their thing.
Right.
It's a personal frustration just because it's like, man, I just want to see, like, something really cool come out of, like, China to the same degree that at least strikes a chord with me. But that's, again, a very personal beef. But,
well, you can go see The Great Wall starting this weekend with Matt Damon.
I was
thinking about making that joke. Thank you for jumping on that landmine.
I actually saw a screenshot from The Great Wall that had five Chinese actors in different colored armor, and I was like, wait, hold on a second.
Is this a secret Sentai movie? If you just had taken out Matt Damon out of The Great Wall, I would have seen that movie like 15 goddamn times. Like, hell, a Hollywood-released movie taking place in a, like, fictional, mythical version of ancient China where we're fighting dragons, and that's why we built the Great Wall? Hell yes, I'm into
that.
Wait,
I think it's a Chinese-made movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hollywood, like, produced, but Chinese-made movie, that's the thing, like...
Oh, gotcha.
It's made to appeal to
America, I guess, like everything else America makes. It was assembled in China.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, do you remember that episode of Doug where he starts writing an essay that starts with silt is, and then he spends the entire essay continuing beyond that point? That's where we're at. We're 10 minutes into Dairanger is.
Because every time Zach brings up a new topic to make me mad about...
I've been honing my craft. I'll shut up now. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, if you want, I can pick up the football and I can start getting mad at Doug. That show sucked.
No,
we'll say no. Save
no,
that for another
it's not
time.
Fine.
Anyway,
Jules. No, no. It wasn't.
Okay. Everyone,
okay,
Jules,
this
shut up. Shut
falling
up.
Apart. We gotta try and steer this back. All right. Some sort of track.
So. Yeah, okay, explain the Zords to us. We know what a dragon is.
Okay, the Zords.
Is, like
okay,
the
Zords.
Too.
Red dragon, that's pretty damn obvious. Pink sword, not necessarily a phoenix. Definitely not a firebird. It's based on the Ho-Oh, which is essentially like a
wait,
mythical
that's a Pokemon.
Bird god. Yes. That's another example of like, hey, let's just take something from Chinese myth, because fuck you.
Wait, hold on. I haven't kept up with Pokemon at all. Is there a Jesus Christ Pokemon?
No, there's not. Let's move on.
I mean, Arceus.
D- Die Ranger is.
Yes, that's Pink Sword. Yellow Zord is a Kirin. Basically, in Chinese myth, that was considered a chimera. Looking at historical records, people have started to realize that was possibly a lot of hearsay and rumor based on when traders were bringing in giraffes from Africa and the Middle East and such.
It kind of looks like a giraffe.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's the right color.
It actually makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Tenma is based on essentially our version of a Pegasus, not a unicorn. Subtle differences, but very much still very different mythical creatures.
I've watched enough My Little Pony to know the difference, so it's fine. Yeah. We can move on.
And then, you know, Green Ranger. Well, it's weird. It's a Black Zord, but it's from the Green Ranger in Die Ranger, which is the Shishi, which is...
It's got green elements.
Green elements. And,
yeah.
But yeah, it's based on the Shishi, which is the Chinese guardian lion. It's, you know, those lion statues you see pretty much... You know, when you go to Chinatown.
Yeah, though those lions you would see, like, next to the entrances of buildings and stuff.
Yeah. And as much as I do get people's, like, you know, they don't like people's opinions about the swords kind of being boring, I kind of still like them because it's, like, they're based on ancient Chinese statues.
I like them, too. Like, as a kid, I definitely thought the Thunder Zord was way cooler than the first Megazord.
I think the problem people have had mostly, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I know, Mike, that you're one of the people that doesn't really like them. It's not the idea of them. It's that they don't move very much.
Oh, no, basically. I agree with you. There's just no freaking mobility. They're just blocks.
Yeah, they exist purely to be armor for the Red Dragon Zord, and that's it. And that's just disappointing to me.
Just to briefly go back to Duoja, those are freaking cute animals, and they have...
We just found out that, like, they actually have powers. Because up until, like, two episodes ago, the individual Zords, besides the Red Ranger, didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, like, we suddenly discover that, what is it, like, the blue one has, like, psychic powers.
One of them had time control powers,
Let's go into the different Rangers and what they represent in Die Ranger. So, basically, the actual closest you can get to an English localization for the name of Gosei Sentai Die Ranger means five-star squadron Great Rangers. Like, because they're not just based on Chinese myth, they're based on, like, celestial bodies, essentially, so that they each have a star representing them, is their whole deal. And you've got Red Ranger, who's Rear Ranger, he's, you know, based on fire, because he's the Red Ranger. You can't have a Red Ranger who's not based on fire. It's kind of lore. Like, if you don't have that in Sentai, then what the fuck are you doing? Even Duoja, the Eagle Red Ranger, has a fire chainsaw. Like,
well, yeah,
you can't avoid it.
Flame.
Yeah. Shishi Ranger, the Green Ranger in Die Ranger, his one was it's been a while since I actually looked at each of the stars. I know, because you brought up time powers, that was the Yellow Ranger, because Kirin Ranger is based on the time star. Like, he could just fuck with time, because why wouldn't he?
Because why not?
Yep.
It's great, though, that his martial arts style is based on, like, almost like drunken boxing, so it actually has this very fluid movement to it, and, like, it feels like he's just fucking with you in terms of rhythm and everything.
That's such a bummer that we never got the Die Ranger suits.
Yeah, like. Blue Ranger, Tenma Ranger, he's based on gravity, which is a really cool idea, in my opinion.
Well,
like,
that's why he can throw rocks, of course. Gotcha.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. God. What was the Green Ranger? I keep forgetting, because, man, I'm not going to lie, I'm looking at the Ranger Wiki right now. This is a fucking nightmarish website to navigate.
Yeah, it's not good, no.
Someday someone is going to appoint an admin for Ranger Wiki to this podcast, and they're going to be like, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah, like,
why are you so mean to us?
If anyone from Ranger Wiki is listening, you guys are not the worst wiki we've ever seen.
Holy shit, not even close.
I was about to say, I don't think they're even close.
Nope. We've been to the... Joel and I have been to the Moncast Wiki, both of them, we know.
Yeah, there's two different Digimon wikis. I still love that fact. Yeah.
Anyway, yes, found it. So, but that's right. Green Ranger, Shishi Ranger, he's based on illusion. And then Horror Ranger, the Pink Ranger, she's based on wind. And then you have Kiba Ranger, the only Power Rangers Tire Ranger, who is based on sound. Because he's the Howling Star.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, he's really fucking cool, because, like, he will throw a freaking hair metal rock band at you as in a final finisher.
Well, that explains Tommy's wardrobe change.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God! Yes, it does.
I have a question. Can that ranger burst people's eyeballs and lungs with pressure waves? That'd be
possibly.
Fucking sweet.
I mean, possibly.
I mean,
well, here's the thing. Die Ranger was awesome. Die Ranger was actually surprisingly violent for a Sentai show. Because like,
so that's something we got into when every time we've looked up like what a monster does, they like eat people or fucking make glass explode and shrapnel will cut people into pieces. It's fucking nuts.
Pretty sure one dude had his face punched off by the Red Ranger in a martial arts fight.
I don't know.
Fuck,
okay.
I need to look up that clip. Holy shit.
I don't understand. Like, literally punched off?
Did he go all Optimus Prime on them and demand it first?
I don't know if he demanded, but it was definitely for honor because it was a one-on-one fight.
Yeah, okay, good, great. So the Kiba
Ranger...
Nice
callback to the, like, 15 minutes of conversation
so it was a
we had before the, the recording.
So the Kiba Ranger, the White Ranger in the Sentai, is, as we said earlier, is a child, right?
Oh, yes. And not, like, a 13-year-old, or, like, he's not a teenager. He's a fucking child.
Right, he's, like, 7, or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
So actual children with attitude, then?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
basically, he is a man. Like,
No, he's definitely
not
a man.
He's a child.
Okay. So he's a 9-year-old asshole in the show. He basically is that really annoying kid who lives in your apartment complex. And essentially, like... He's a recurring character at some point, but yeah, like, how do I put it? He keeps trying to see up, say, you know, the Pink Ranger skirt.
God damn it.
Yeah. I mean, this is Japan in the 90s.
Yep.
Yeah.
Humor, like, the humor has been more refined as time has gone on, but that's their equivalent of, like, you know, slapstick. And, you know, you can draw parallels to, say, some other shitty things that kids would do in, like, more Western shows, but yeah.
Yeah, the one thing I've, like, I haven't watched a ton of anime, but most of what I have watched is older, from, like, the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed the pattern that if an old man or a child is horny, it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Apparently... For some reason.
Okay.
I don't really understand why.
I have noticed this because, and it's a thing whenever Tyler and I bring up talking about, you know, round the twist on the show for a bonus episode, which is that batshit off the wall Australian kid show, there's very much a really interesting link that I want to talk about someday, like in some actual, like, article I write later on about, hey, a lot of American Western media for kids is super puritanical.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm
and
not going to say
and that definitely colors a lot of feelings about how people react to things.
Right. That is for certain true. I still, like, the recurring joke of this 6-year-old wants to look up this lady's skirt is, like, I don't like it.
I'll put it this way. I personally don't know if this is still relevant in a lot of Japanese culture to this day, like, within the past, say, decade or so, but I know, like, during the 90s and stuff, even up until the age of, like, 10 or 11, just, like, you bathing with your child was, like, not a weird thing.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's definitely, I know that we're on the other end of the extreme, basically, like, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely understandable why they didn't transfer that character over.
Although it's kind of fucked up because when he first, like, because he has a great first appearance as Kiba Ranger because It's not like, oh man, he's like a plucky 9-year-old who wants to do good. No, he transforms and has fun around the city in broad daylight as a fucking Sentai Ranger.
He's gotten bigged, and so like he's
yeah, no,
see,
like
being
straight
an
up
body.
Yeah.
Doesn't he use his powers to like blow up some girls' skirts? I think I saw that.
Yep, he also skateboards on a truck at one point. He just runs around in broad daylight in Tokyo as the Kiba Ranger because he wants to have fun. And then when his sword tells him, hey, don't do this shit, he just stuffs a sock in his mouth.
That's awesome. I kind of wish he did that in the actual show.
Yeah.
Well, this thing is, Saba has a lot of personality in Die Ranger, which I love. Like, because he realizes, oh, Christ, I got paired with a child. I need to explain some shit to him. I honestly find
it kind of weird they kept the fact that it talks. Like, I'm not sure why
they didn't very much or very often.
Yeah. I mean, they had shots in the Sentai footage of that sword talking, so they just used it, but yeah.
If they didn't let him keep talking, like, they'd have had even less footage to work with.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, the Saba in the Power Rangers is really not like a key part of anything. It doesn't really matter that he talks.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a weird choice.
Because he's like straight up a character almost in, like, he's part of the cast in Die Ranger, which is great.
Yeah, that's cool. Saba just showed up in the Power Rangers comics and he does more than he's ever done in the entire show. So, in his first appearance. So
I think a lot of people remember Saba differently because we all want to believe, man, a talking sword would definitely have attitude, right?
Yeah.
He's like a nanny. It's weird. Yeah. Like, I don't like it. Yeah, it's a weird call. I don't really understand what they were going for, but
I will also say it is pretty funny that the only, aside from, we actually get two bits of Die Ranger in all of Power Rangers. We get this with the whole Thunder Zord and the White Ranger using the Keeper Ranger suit, but their actual Morpher from Die Ranger appears in Lost Galaxy.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah?
The Magna Ranger's Morpher is the Die Ranger Morpher.
That's interesting, but the was the Magna Ranger from
the Magna Defender, I should say. Yeah, Magna Defender was also from the equivalent Sentai for Lost Galaxy, which was Gingaman.
But they just gave him a Die Ranger Morpher for some reason?
Yeah, because in the Sentai, he literally just, like, he Kamurai'd Henshin. Like, he, like, holds up his hand and then he gets engulfed in fire and turns into that Ranger. He doesn't actually, he doesn't get a Morpher in that show, and yet they were like, no, he needs to have a Morpher in Power Rangers.
Right, so, yeah. That's a thing we can sell.
And I'm guessing because, like, that was the one Morpher they hadn't used yet in, like, all the Sentai that premiered since Power Rangers.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that was, I guess that was kind of their option. Like, unless they wanted to go something pre-Zhu Ranger. Weird. Okay. Well, cool. Like, of all the stuff, of all the, Sentai that we've covered or will cover, I guess one of the ones I'm most curious about is Die Ranger, just because I haven't seen anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't even seen clips of it. So
before we move on, like, Jules, can you just give us like a general like overview of like the plot line? What's the deal with the villain?
So essentially, Die Ranger, basically, it's one of those. It's similar to Zhu Ranger in a lot of ways, where they're descendants of like a previous warring tribe back for like, thousands of years ago in southern China, and then the empire was defeated by another tribe called the Gorma tribe, who are the villains, and essentially it gets to the point where their mentor, who, like, because the Die Rangers at the point have been wiped out, he still has the powers for all five of the Rangers. He's able to transfer them to these, you know, young, plucky, you know, 20-somethings in Japan who are descended from this tribe. And it's basically them fighting this ancient evil which has followed them from China to Japan.
Okay.
That's pretty much
so how,
it.
Like, how does that go? Because you gave us kind of the rundown on, like, the Green Rangers arc in Zhu Ranger. So, like, how does this, like, ultimately go in Die Ranger? Like, how's that end up?
It goes pretty interestingly because I think it's also one of the first, if not the first Sentai season where one of the main villainesses, she actually turns because there's straight up a love story between her and the Green Ranger in Die Ranger. And that's a running arc. You also have the fact that, what else was it? I think it's also the first I don't know if I'm trying to recall if this happens a lot in Power Rangers, but it turns out that their mentor all this time, he was actually also from the villains, and he was also a turncoat, and he basically, like, was the one to have stolen their powers back from the villains, and he's the reason, like, they're able to fight now. And he's also, I think, one of the first mentors to straight up die in the show at the end.
I'm trying to remember any mentors who used to be evil. I don't know that I can think of one. Because
we get rangers who started off evil and stuff, but not really mentors as such. What else is there? This is also the first Sentai season. I think this is the reason why we get this now in, like, even Power Rangers. At the end of the show, they lose their powers, you know, due to, like, plot reasons and such, and the final roll call they have is straight up out of suit, and you actually get to see the actors do, like, all the motions and stuff, which is really cool.
That is cool. Yeah, I like that stuff when they do that in Power Rangers. That's definitely something they do every once in a while.
The funny thing is, as well, afterwards, like, because it's the case where they don't really win, it's more like they push back the evil forces for, like, the next generation to take on. And then the ending of Die Ranger is a flash forward, like, to their grandchildren who are now in their 20s, and, like, they're the ones fighting, they're the ones who are the new Die Rangers and stuff. And the funniest thing is that the Keeper Ranger is still the Keeper Ranger, but he's now, like, an old businessman.
That's awesome. That's a good touch.
Because when they turn up to fight the monster, they go, wait, where is he? And he goes, he's stuck in a business meeting. And we cut to a picture of what he looks like now, and it's still the same kid actor, but with, like, a gray wig and mustache.
That's awesome. That's really funny. Because they could have cast literally anyone. Like, it wouldn't have mattered. They could have just said it, put anybody in that
I'm
picture.
Also just going to show you, like, so... Oh, God. Like, so, you try and imagine 1993 Japan, they're trying to imagine, man, what would, like, 20-somethings, two generations next,
oh, God.
What would they look like? And I'm just gonna, like, show you in the Skype chat just some fashion choices they make, including...
Oh,
you know,
my God, yes.
Like,
oh boy,
seems accurate.
Checkered jackets, bow ties.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is here. This all looks accurate to me.
The best one is, in my opinion, the Pink Ranger.
One of these is going to be the picture for the holy shit. Look at those earrings.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Good boy, howdy.
I
need to watch Die Ranger.
Yeah.
Blue Ranger also has it running for, like, oh shit. Because he's just a JoJo's character.
What are those sunglasses? Those don't do anything.
Right, just like baseball caps in the 90s didn't.
They're reading sunglasses.
Well, yes, yeah, they're just on the, like, just for when you look down. Yep. If you don't want to...
In case you just need to read the sun.
You don't want to be blinded by your white pages. When you're reading,
it's also pretty great because they then cut, like, they show these plucky grandkids as new rangers, and then they cut to, like from a distance away, the original Dire Rangers from the show watching as, like, old people, and again, it's the same actors, but in old people makeup and wigs and stuff, and it's amazing.
I need to watch Dire Ranger. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on and schooling us a little bit in Die Ranger. I don't know how much of that'll come up in this episode, but I still wanted to talk about pretty much nothing.
I think there's maybe a minute of Die Ranger footage in this episode, so probably not.
Really not,
if even that.
Yeah, there's really not that much. But let's go ahead and hop into the episode. This is episode 20 of season 2, Opposites Attract. And we open on Billy and Trainee sitting at
a tree.
Oh, before we start, this is just a quick thing, Mike. You've been watching ahead a little bit. You said you're pretty sure this is the last episode with new footage of Austin St. John, and
Walter Jones and Thuy Trang. Yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry.
So
well, here's the thing. I actually really liked this episode, so I think it's kind of a nice little send off. But yeah, like next week, it's just Billy, Kimberly, and Tommy talking to each other, wondering where everyone else is today, and and we are immediately setting up the peace conference.
Like, okay.
The instant they realize, well, these actors are gone, they start setting up the peace conference. I guess in hopes that when it happens, it won't be awkward.
Yeah.
It'll still be awkward.
Spoilers, it will be.
And we'll get to it when we talk about the episode next week, but like when you see these conversations between like David Yost and Amy Jo Johnson and Jason David Frank, and they're in they're in character, like wondering aloud, oh man, what if some members of the Rangers get picked for the peace conference? What does that mean for the team? And you could just feel just how awkward it is on set. Like, it's fucking palpable.
Man, we can talk next week about the whole, like, logistics behind this whole peace conference thing. It's kind of weird, but just the way you describe it right now, it's kind of, okay.
It must have
been. But for right now, we've got a wacky magnet monster to deal with.
Yeah. So Billy has this fucking...
We should say the name of the episode because, like...
We did.
It's a magnet joke, but it has nothing to do with anything else in the episode.
Yeah, it's opposites attract. But yeah, Billy has this big old Looney Tunes cartoon magnet attached to... Go ahead.
I think before the actors left, the entire props department walked out because I cannot understand any of the stuff anyone has in this episode as objects.
This thing is a horseshoe.
It's a beep boop device with a magnet attached to it.
Well, it's a horseshoe magnet attached to like a kaleidoscope. Like what the?
This looks like an off-brand Bop-It.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's the one with the Kill-It on it. Yeah,
yeah. So that's called a callback.
Yes.
But yeah, so it's this fucking stupid prop, and Trini's like, what you got there? It sure does look like nonsense.
Libby Lee goes, I don't know, it's probably going to be a monster later. Oh, well.
So Billy says...
I assumed it looked goofy like this because it had to match the monster, but no, it doesn't.
It doesn't really, aside from the color and the fact that it's a magnet, basically nothing does.
It's just like the purse that we were pretty sure was not actually a purse. Mm-hmm. This doesn't actually look like the monster will, so it doesn't make sense that it looks this stupid, but whatever. Billy says that scientists, it is a magnetic field sensing device.
Right.
Thing.
Thing what detects solar flares, basically.
As somebody with an actual degree in engineering, I love that they think strapping just a horseshoe magnet to a device allows it to sense magnetic waves.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Talking about how scientists have predicted a rare solar storm for today. And, like, oh man.
Aren't they, like, completely unpredictable and we can only track them in retrospect after they've happened and
You can kind of predict them the same way you can predict the weather. Like, you can watch the activity and say, well, there might be one, because there's definitely been advisories before for those.
Okay.
Like, that's an actual thing that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, it's like, he doesn't even say, like, astronomers, he just says scientists.
Right. Yeah. Like, and I'm sure you can find
I guess that kind of makes sense considering what we've seen of Billy in this world. Like, I guess there's just... This is a world where there's just all-purpose mad scientists.
Right.
Well,
you know,
like,
it's like a comic book.
Comic book rules. Everybody's just a scientist in all fields, always. But yeah, so he's got this device. He says he's going to use it to try to monitor the solar fields or whatever. And Kimberly walks over...
Billy and Trini are sitting around talking about this device, and it's kind of, they're doing that thing where Billy's speaking in Billy speak, and Trini's speaking in almost Billy speak, so it's kind of incomprehensible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's all bullshit anyway, so it might as well be incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Right. So, Kimberly comes over, dressed in a Girl Scout uniform,
because that's her job this week, yeah.
Yeah, so Kimberly is a cheerleader, she is a singer-songwriter, she is a
gymnast.
gymnast.
Yep.
She runs a gardening
club. Remember when her thing was gymnastics all the time? Remember that?
So I assume she's also up for valedictorian of the class because she seems like that type.
Uh-huh. Does she sleep? Like, I feel like she does
The
last time we've seen her get up from having slept, she had, like, the worst day in history, so maybe she doesn't anymore.
Yeah, that's a lesson now. Like, nope, can't sleep anymore.
Never again. Will eat me.
I woke up once. It was awful.
She comes in with a friend. What's this friend's name?
Laura?
Yeah, it does not matter.
Here's the fucking weird thing, Joel. I've been watching ahead. She comes back.
No, bullshitting me. No fucking way.
She
appears
nothing
again
in this episode. She's possibly the blandest Billy's love interest we've seen so far, which is saying a lot. But yeah, she doesn't.
I assume it is. I don't remember any of the other ones.
Yeah.
But like we absolutely see Laura again, which fucking.
Why?
Scared the shit out of me when I saw that.
You were just like, I don't understand what's happening. Yeah, I love
this
the fact
that... This is how this shit works.
Yeah, I love the fact that continuity is so rare on this show that you saw a character you'd seen before and you got scared. Like,
ghost!
But yeah,
so I thought my Girl mind Scouts. Was breaking. I don't know.
This isn't the Girl Scouts, though, because they say they're taking the Angelettes.
Yeah,
the Angel Grove.
Yeah, because Girl Scouts is probably a registered trademark or whatever, and they can't. They probably can't.
They could just call them. They could just call them Scouts, though. Like that's not registered.
I guess. Yeah.
I do love, by the way, there
is
a line.
Angels. Like why Angelettes?
Angel Grove.
Because they're from
girls.
Angel Grove and they're
Angel
the girls.
Like you could just call them angels. Like angel is not a gendered term.
Yeah.
Shut up, Mike. It's the 90s. Everything's gendered. Yeah.
It's the 20th and 21st century. Everything is gendered, not just the 90s.
Yeah.
But I do like that there's a line where they say we're taking the Angelettes on a hike. That's why we're dressed like this. And I was like, okay, that's a weird way to phrase
that. Do you think
that?
Amy Jo Johnson demanded an explanation for it because otherwise she didn't want to be seen in it?
I do like that she still tied it up like a belly shirt, even though she was just like, no, I can't even. Give me that. Hold on. I'm going to fix it.
So because once we have a theme for an episode, everything forever has to tie into that theme. Apparently, what they're taking the Angelettes out to do is earn a merit badge that proves that they know how to use a compass.
Yep.
Right.
Boy, that
as a former scout is a thing that you get.
It is, but
thing,
holy
yeah.
shit, that didn't need to be said explicitly. Like,
yep.
So they say, okay, we're gonna go on the hike now, and Laura just stares at Billy for like a really extended, uncomfortable amount of time.
Laura wants Billy's dick so.
And she speaks sort of Billy speak, but that bar is so low now that the Billy speak that turns him on is the word requires apparently is enough to like get him to like
for
his eyebrows
syllables. So like that's better.
But she's
than
like, oh,
gets.
Oh, you know another word
thing?
For need, huh? Okay.
Yeah. But she's like, Billy, you're doing a science thing. I love science.
Billy does a science.
Science gets me so fucking hot.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Matt. If she would have said that, that would have given her some personality.
Yeah, I know.
That would have made her my favorite character ever.
Someone is literally just horny for science.
Yeah.
I have that t-shirt, by the way.
I guess because this lady is utterly devoid of any personality whatsoever, she's the perfect match for Billy.
Fuck.
And
get him.
Apparently, Trini agrees.
Yeah, well, this is apparently the last time
as soon
time
as Laura walks
her.
Away, Trini's just like, hey, Billy.
Hit that.
You should hit that.
Yeah.
Go get your dick wet, buddy.
So here's my theory. Trini is leaving Angel Grove even if she doesn't get accepted to this peace conference. Mm-hmm. She's had it up to here with all this bullshit. She's leaving, but she wants to hook Billy up with a nice lady since she's not going
to
be around anymore. Yeah. and she pushes it pretty hard. She's like, Laura's so nice, that lady I literally just met, like, 30 seconds
She said a couple
ago.
Words that had a couple syllables in it. She looks kind of like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. Hit that. Do it.
Billy, she Big Bang Theory just... is your favorite show, right?
Right. Oh,
she should have just, like, cupped her hands over her mouth going, hey, Billy! Fuck that lady!
Fuck her!
But,
yeah.
The but best
Matt,
part...
Matt, I'm going to say, I don't think Big Bang Theory would be Billy's favorite show if he were around today. Billy would be one of those guys that would get really upset about Big Bang Theory and claim it was nerd blackface.
See, yeah. I get upset about Big Bang Theory, but that's because it's bad, not because I'm like...
You'd be surprised at the sort of genuinely intelligent people I've met who liked that terrible fucking show.
Oh, yeah.
It is baffling.
Because intelligence has no bearing on taste.
It's popular. It's just that being smart doesn't mean you have a good sense of humor, so people who have terrible senses of humor really like it.
So in their defense or their own explanation, their own words, what you want to say, apparently like the science in that show is actually relatively
They have advisors in there.
They have advisors, just like Futurama did for all their stuff.
That would explain it. But
Futurama didn't just have advisors. They hired writers with like mathematics degrees.
Yeah, right. But like just because you put an equation on a board that's accurate or you make an accurate reference to something doesn't mean it's a good TV show that you should watch.
If we're gonna make the comparison, Futurama also built entire episodes around mathematical theorems and like plot.
The same people loved Futurama, by the way, which is an actual good show. But in my experience, it's not actually like the intellectual science nerds that hate Big Bang Theory. It's like the basement dwelling My Little Pony.
Well, sure, because that's what the show is making fun of mostly. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So which is actually worse, Big Bang Theory or Power Rangers?
Like,
Big Bang Theory. I think Power Ranger like does what it tries to do on a basic level, and like if you know what you're getting into, you can enjoy it. And I would rather eat a box of scorpions than watch an episode of Big Bang Theory.
So. I'm with you right there.
I've never actually seen Big Bang Theory, so I'm going to abstain from the box.
How big is the box?
I'm looking at a box of cookies right there.
It's like a tapas platter we can share, because I'd rather get in on that than watch Big Bang Theory.
Okay. Also, Simone, Jules, if we meet up, I'm going to bring a DVD of season one Big Bang Theory, and I'm going to bring a box of live cookies. I'm going to throw them down in front of you.
I'm just going to walk away from you.
I'm
going to
cook them some scorpions. Like,
oh, fuck. That's a good point. You could cook the scorpions.
Fucking checkmate.
Could also cook the DVD and make it unwatchable, which would improve it greatly.
There's nothing in the rule books that says you can't cook the scorpions.
Yeah, no, there is nothing in the rule book that says.
Or feed them to a dog.
So let's move on.
I will say in this matchup, point in Power Rangers' favor, no laugh track.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. So Lara, or I'm sorry, not only does Trini push Lara on Billy, she tells him to go with this group of small girls in order to get
to show
to
them
know.
His magnet. And
that's a good time for a first date. And she's chaperoning children.
Yep.
Yeah, and in an actual, like, reasonable response, Billy's like, I don't think that's weird, and B, I'm actually busy, and C, I don't really think we have a ton in common, so no.
I just realized that Zach and Angela's first date was also chaperoning small children. So what the fuck, Power Rangers?
Because again, Zach, it's a kid's show. Kids love watching other kids, right? So kids
don't
every single time.
Yeah.
It worked perfectly for Star Wars Episode 1.
But yeah, Matt, you're right. He says like, no, I can't, I'm working on this, and also I'm boring as fuck, so I'll just stay here and it's fine. We cut to the moon real quick, and so Zed is excited about this magnetic phenomenon. He says it happens only once every 100 years. And, quote, how nice of the Blue Ranger to turn it to my advantage.
How? How are you doing that?
I literally said that out loud. I was like, how?
He says
because it'll let him use his ancient
Which is also what Goldar says,
spell.
To be fair, but yeah.
I like, Zed is like, I'll harness his unstable magnet device to make a monster. Dude, you can make a monster out of fucking anything.
Yeah.
Like, what? It doesn't matter.
Yesterday you made a monster out of lipstick. Like, what the fuck? You don't need anything special.
You made a monster out of a drawing that one time. So we cut to the gym.
I think he's made a monster out of a drawing more than once, because I think that's how the goat robot happened.
That's true. He made that one out of a book and then the other one out of a poster. He has done that twice. That's a good point.
Do you think Zed doesn't understand magnets, so the only way he can like conceptualize a magnet monster is to have an actual magnet machine to turn it into the monster out of? I'm trying to get to a Juggalo joke in there somewhere.
Right, out of mirror.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going. Simon, course correct now, magnets, please. How do they work?
Yeah, okay.
You were on your way, and I saw the path, and then I just saw you trip and fall into a pit of scorpions, which is unfortunate.
Which has to eat
I'm
going
to have to eat all the scorpions now, damn it.
The other pit right next to it, full of Big Bang merchandise.
Chomp.
Which, ironically, this is the one case where the Big Bang merchandise pays off, because it's probably a lot of soft t-shirts and stuff.
But it's also a lot of Funko Pops as well.
Ooh. Oh god.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll take the scorpion stings, thank you.
Are you implying that if you make contact with a Funko Pop, it will literally start to like melt your skin like hydrochloric acid?
I assume it's
what happens is your eyes turn to like these black circles and then your
head becomes
square. It just
oh no.
So anyway, talking
no,
about
wait.
Things that need
no.
laugh tracks, Bulk and Skull no. show up.
No, wait, hold on. I'm not done with this because the idea of a haunted Funko Pop that turns you into a Funko Pop if you touch it is the scariest thing
that's
I've
a,
ever heard.
That's a really good
heard.
Are You Afraid of
like,
the Dark episode.
I was about to say, I thought you were going to say like the sexiest thing ever made.
I was going
to
say, Matt, as well, like, I'm not into that, but also, man, that's straight up a dollification fic.
Yep.
Oh, it totally is, but I'm actually not. Actually, I don't.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
I mean, no kink shaming here. If you're into it, go for it. You do you, but I'm not about it.
Wait, hold on. So before Bulk and Skull happened, first, we're in the gym and juice bar.
Ernie's hiding some boxes.
They've got these. Yeah. What are the boxes got in them?
I
can't remember.
Well, Ernie made them, so I assume they're like food for the camping trip.
Yes, they're supplies. They say it's supplies.
They're also the boxes
just
are also
but popcorn.
Well, it's
they're
gotta
the boxes
be.
Of scorpions.
It's got to be popcorn because that box looks like it's pretty much empty.
Okay, girls, the worst trooper gets thrown into the scorpion pit.
The boo box from Hook.
So they say all the little girls are like, we want to help Carrie. So Kimberly gives collectively all eight children one box to carry, which makes sense, I guess.
Well, it was the lightest one. I think she was worried the other ones were too heavy for them.
But like, even then, only two of them carry the box and the rest just like kind of follow them and have nothing to carry. So great.
So now Balk and Skull come in.
Oh, we do get a warning from Billy. That like, hey, watch out! There's a magnet thing that could fuck with your compasses. Yep. So just
yes,
you know.
I mean that is a known effect of like certain like solar.
Yeah,
flare
that's activity. Actually that's actually legit.
That's a for real one. So Bulk and Skull, man.
So one thing is immediately clear is that Bulk and Skull watched E.T. the night before this.
Yeah,
because now they're trying to do that. That's their thing now.
So Bulk and Skull have made this device.
They just glued everything they had in their garage together, which includes, like, fly swatters, a guitar, a phone, some other shit, I don't know.
Well, no, Bulk and Skull didn't make it. It was their cousin who works at Angel Grove Tech.
Yeah, Eugene made it.
Sorry.
Oh, fuck, what was that guy's name?
Goes to Angel Grove Tech.
Yeah, I don't remember, but, so...
Well, no, that was last time. This time it's just, like... Bulk and Skull
no,
are trying their hand
he
to make
is,
the device
he is
now.
Insinuating that it's the same cousin, which would be pretty funny. But this thing is nonsense, which of course it is.
Yep.
But the thing I want to talk about is the fact that what they say is that we're, quote, going to hook it up to the giant satellite in the sky.
Uh-huh.
Right, the one that's left after all of the wars.
Yeah.
Which satellite, you guys?
It's the
satellite. Only one.
They just said, Zach, the giant satellite.
Okay,
that's
so
one
you know
giant
what,
satellite.
You know Star Trek, when that satellite, like, crashed and turned into, like, God or whatever, it's that one.
Okay.
Voyager.
That wasn't a satellite. That was Voyager, but okay.
In the first Star Trek movie, there's a probe, a Voyager probe that went off, met some aliens, was upgraded into, like, a... conscious being with some like higher dimensional powers, and it came back to Earth looking for its maker, which turns out to be us, and not realizing it's destroying everything in its path. It's a bad movie.
Yeah, it's super boring, even for Star Trek.
Yep.
So anyway, then they leave because Bulk and Skull have not done anything for the past 20 episodes.
That's not even a plan. It's not even half formed. They're going to hook their thing up to the satellite and somehow that's going to tell them who the Power Rangers are. That's their plan.
I mean, at this point, they've had a complete psychotic break.
Like, I feel like they're literally...
Their plan is to contact the Power Rangers. I think the idea is, like, well, maybe if we get a hold of the Power Rangers, maybe they'll want to talk to us.
I just...
They're,
I
like,
feel like,
two steps away from just pulling out a Ouija board and going, fuck it, let's ask it who the Power Rangers are.
Yeah.
They went to a literal fortune teller already.
Yeah,
already
they did
there.
That. You're right. Yeah.
They already did that. Yeah, I feel like the only reason Bulk and Skull are still on this show is because their contract says they have to be on every episode.
This episode premiered before the movie Contact came out. Did they get the idea for Contact from this?
Yep.
Carl Sagan watched this episode of Power Rangers, said, it's like, I will write a book, even though it aired after he was dead or whatever. Whatever. He said, I'm going to write a book about aliens that contact humanity, and then
the
in the future, there's going to be a Jodie Foster movie about it.
Oh, man, it's that scene from Contact where they broadcast back the footage of Hitler, and, like, Skull just gets real happy.
Wait a second. Carl Sagan. Sagan. Saban. Hold on.
For Washington Lane.
I thought you were gonna...
Treasures at the White House.
All right, I'm tuning out.
Come back, Matt. I thought you were gonna say Satan, but Saban also works. So anyway,
I mean,
it looks
right?
Saban.
Yep.
We get a quick shot
Sagan,
of
Saban, Satan, Santa. The Power Rangers are at the North Pole.
Oh God damn it! Listen,
the North Pole.
We get a quick...
magnets. It all fits.
We get a quick quick shot of the moon where where Zed calls Trini and Kimberly his little cupcakes, which is deeply upset.
Yeah,
my dude. So I want to point out something. So remember when Zed first showed up and they talked about how like the room can glow to match his mood?
Uh huh.
Yep. Yeah.
He is happy right now and he's still glowing red. So apparently he glows red for all moods.
It's almost like they wrote that line and then just forgot they did that.
Yep. Yeah, 50 Shades of Red, yeah.
It's because Zed only has one mood, and it's angry, happy.
Angry, happy, horny, all at once.
Yeah, so he's only happy when he's horny, and he can only be horny when he's angry, so.
They call it the
circle
of Zed.
I'm gonna repeat, he's mad?
Yes, apparently. So,
what were we talking about?
Nothing. It's okay. Don't worry.
Okay.
So anyway, we cut down to our boys working out for a second there with a really pointless scene.
God.
Yeah, Tommy, Jason, and Zach just fucking pumping iron and being sweaty dudes. Yep.
Literally, Tommy is just like, I hope the hike goes good. Bye, show.
Bye, rest
episode.
Of the episode. Yeah, this is maybe one of the last shots of Jason and Zach ever, and it's completely pointless. Thank you, guys.
You know what?
Another shot of them when the weird shit starts happening.
At least we get to see their fucking guns.
Yep.
So it's fine.
They come out like they came in, just pumping iron.
So we cut to Billy's lab.
In the beefy arms of an angel. Far away from here.
So
okay, can we kick Mike from the chat?
We cannot. His contract dictates he's on every episode. So Billy
fucking suck it.
Billy types some things into a computer. There's a lot of shots in this episode that super don't matter.
Nope.
One can
As opposed
say
to every other episode of Power Rangers,
matter.
Which is full of crucial plot building shots from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fair.
But also, we get shots of like he's got like smoking beakers and shit in his lab. Yep. He's just doing a magnet thing.
Yep. And he hacks into a computer that apparently tells him the solar flare is about to happen, and he should head out now.
Look, Mike, you don't know what other projects he has going on right now. Like, you think he's limiting himself to just magnets today?
He's trying to clone himself a Trini.
So the we cut to Kimberly and her scouts, and the instructions she gives them are fucking insane. Yeah.
Kimberly, nature safety expert.
Also, I should point out that they apparently the like soundtrack folks also quit because they're just playing a loop from my Casio keyboard right now.
So she says, okay, everybody take out your compasses. We've marked this is
for Bagum. This nondescript like bare spot of ground is base camp, so remember this place. It's next to the tree. And just like run off into nature, use the buddy system.
Yeah.
And if you get lost, sit down and scream. That's it. That's the instruction.
Yes, exact line is just sit down and scream for help. Yeah. That's kind of like saying if you get set on fire while walking near the lava, just stop, drop, and roll. It's like no.
I mean,
okay.
That's not how this is supposed to
work. You are supposed to stay in one place if you get lost.
I'm going to play fair to the show. That is a real thing you tell kids is if you get lost, stay where you are and call for help.
Yep. Yes.
Like that's a real thing. But, however, as we're going to discover later on in the episode, and in fact, like maybe 5 or 6 scenes from now, there are bears in these woods.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot about this scene.
Also, apparently the buddy system is everyone stays together as one group. So
yes.
Well, that's actually what they fucking should
be
doing.
Yeah, I know, but that's not what the buddy system is.
To splinter off and run into random fucking corners of the bear woods is an awful, awful idea.
What's their objective?
To kill at least 4
like,
children.
They're supposed to use their compasses to do what?
Yeah, to find magnetism.
The buddy system is a bear can easily eat 2 people.
Yeah, but you only have to be faster than the other person.
Yeah,
they're 10-year-olds. Neither of them are going to be fast.
Everyone pair up with a slow child and walk off into nature.
Joel, have you ever actually had to catch a 10-year-old? They're pretty fast.
They're pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. 10 months.
Well, they also
fast.
They don't know how to walk. They just run. Like they don't have a second speed.
They only have one mode of like speed.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure 10-year-olds know how to walk.
You started saying they don't know how to walk, and I started to wonder, like Zach, have you ever met a child?
Okay, Zach, what's worse? Your wife thinking that Simon's baby is 3 feet tall, or you only thinking that 10-year-olds don't know how to walk yet?
No. I'm saying
he thought puberty made someone into a big baby, so maybe he just thinks that like everyone's just a baby until they hit 18.
I'm saying they only run everywhere. They don't know how
to
slow down.
Oh yeah, I remember when I was 10 years old, I would just get up out of bed and sprint to the bathroom and sprint back to bed.
I fucking hate all of you.
Sprint out the door.
Turning 10 is like going supersonic. Like,
yeah, every 10 years you just get faster and faster and faster and faster.
It's exponential. I'm so fast by now, I could just run around the earth 3 times in the time it takes to make the clock.
My great grandpa turned 110 and he phased into pure energy. He was going so fast.
It was a humorous exaggeration.
At a certain point, you have to learn to control your speed or the friction with the air will make you catch on fire.
You're all dicks. All right, let's move on. So,
just imagine Zach, instead of Zach getting the birds of peace talk, his dad just wrote like speed force on like a whiteboard.
All right, son, you've turned 10. Here's a full body condom so that your contact with the air won't cause you to rupture into flames.
Why did you go to full body condoms?
No. You wouldn't have full
Zach,
body condoms.
Zach, do you know what condoms are for?
The rubber would start. The rubber would start to melt and it like stick to your skin like fucking napalm. That would, oh my god, the implications of that. Is your dad trying to fucking kill you?
Let's move on,
like,
please.
Really horribly?
The next scene
is sex like for the Flash?
Fast.
Bulk and Skull are doing some nonsense. The end. Next scene. That is
fair because that's basically all we get.
By the end, Zach is also trying to see
they have, like, Christmas tinsel wrapped around a tree.
It's some fucking bullshit.
I'm telling you guys, they just watched E.T. and they're trying to do that.
Yeah. So, Zed sees Billy activate his polarizer, and he goes, okay, Goldar, go steal that thing so I can turn it into a monster. Which,
okay,
again,
I'm pretty sure the thing it's attached to is a solar cell, looking at it.
Yeah, it does look like
that. Oh, yeah.
Which, keep in mind that last episode, they were supposed to, quote-unquote, steal Kimberly's purse so they could turn into a monster, and what they did is a putty held it, and then the putty left, and then Zed turned
it into
a monster.
Right, I mean, we have 19 previous episodes establishing that they don't need to do anything with the objects for Zed to turn them into monsters. He just zaps them.
Right. So anyway, Goldar comes down... Billy hilariously jumps up onto a picnic table to get like
this
the
scene,
high ground.
I was like, okay.
It's just like it's a full crouching tiger, hidden dragon jump right there, and
Billy does like a quadruple flip into a dive kick to kick Goldar in the chest, and it just hit me. We're at the point where Goldar is now not a match for unmorphed Billy.
Yeah. Right?
The character who at the start of the show was the only person who didn't know karate.
Yep. Right. And like Goldar originally was like a huge fight even for Jason morphed. And now he's like nothing basically, which is a bummer for me personally. But
it could be worse. It could be like a giant amorphous blob of gold metal with absolutely no fucking personality whatsoever.
Yeah. So anyway,
I just want to call special attention to this putty that's on the scene with Goldar when he steals this device, because it is dancing around and motioning like it is a hype man in like a rap off.
Yes, it is. That's true. It's pretty great.
Also, can I give a shout-out real quick during this segment?
Uh-huh.
Shout-outs to the audio team for using Jason's hi-ya sound effects throughout the
That's game. True. They do that. Yeah. Yep. So
they use the wrong fucking person's sound effect.
They use the one for the person who's not on the show anymore that they...
They fail to use Jason-appropriate sound later when they should.
Yeah. So
also the subtitles say the lyrics to the song is go 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 fast. So
yes,
what the
it's
fuck?
Supposed to be ka combat, and they wrote go 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 fast.
Yep. They have literally given like 4 or 5 different interpretations of ka combat at this point.
The subtitles on Netflix are real bad, but also like this scene's actually a lot of fun. Like David Yost fighting all these putties, it's a fun fight.
It's a good putty fight.
Yep. Real quick, Goldar does get and steal the thing, and then he just teleports away, and
leaving the putty.
But he teleports to a different spot where Zed can tell him to drop the thing on the ground and leave, which is weird.
Yep.
Again,
there's a great super dramatic shot where we just pan up David Yost's body and like the wind is howling and he looks like he's just in the middle of an actual like I don't know action movie like something
like,
just exploded.
No. He looks like he's the protagonist at the start of a Castlevania game.
Billy totally gets an anime scene. Yeah, he totally gets like waving hair wind shot. Mm-hmm. Also, real quick, shout out to Wirework. He kicks a putty. Putty flies way the fuck too far due to wirework again. This is like the 3rd or 4th episode in a row where that's happened.
Oh my god,
it's gonna
last
happen
episode,
a lot.
Last episode when Tommy kicked that fucking putty up the hill.
Yeah.
That shit. Oh my god. I know I wasn't on there for that recording, but oh
I
my
live
god.
I live for this ridiculous overdone wirework. Like this is everything I want in this show.
It's really silly. So
we talked Goldar like actually succeeded in stealing the thing or whatever, but what he didn't do was check in with Zed, because we cut up to the moon and Zed just like, what's taking Goldar so long? And he checks in and Goldar is just looking at the thing and laughing.
Yeah, he's just like, I did it. I'll chill here, I guess. But yeah, Zed turns it into a magnet monster.
Also, like Zed tells him to put it down and like leave or whatever, and I know this is just because the suit is bulky and it's hard to do anything fast, but he leans down so slowly to set it down like he's disappointed he wanted to play with it more.
he also, Zed immediately makes a pun. He says the Earthlings ought to get a charge out of this.
Which is really a stretch.
And then he says, he calls it Magnet Brain, and he commands it to destroy the Earth's polarity.
Oh, which, no, not that which, thing.
I mean, that would actually fuck up the Earth.
Yeah, I was about to say,
solar wind would fuck us up at that point, huh?
Yeah, that would have devastating repercussions, but not in the way that the people making this show thought it would.
Well, no, because what wouldn't happen is that it looks like there's like a slight fuzz filter on everything.
Yeah.
And then
It might. Magnetic fields can fuck with your vision.
It makes it look like Solid Snake just like tossed a chap grenade and...
Oh my god, it does. Holy fuck.
Okay, well, let me describe what's happening, because basically at this point, the magnet monster shoots a beam, We see the girls on the trip. Their compasses.
It doesn't shoot a beam. It like throws its staff into the air, and then it starts spinning in a weird right. crackle effect.
Right, and we see the girls' magnets. Or, I'm sorry, not magnets. Compasses, just like yep. spinning in circles. We cut to the gym and juice bar, and you know how bad the Star Trek
yep.
bridge shaking effect
yep.
is?
It's exactly that. Like, they wobble the camera and tell everyone, okay, everyone, like, run that way, now run the other way,
yeah,
as if everything is wobbling.
The people didn't coordinate their movements very well, so you've got people going in both directions at all times.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really bad. And also, the other effects besides just wind make no fucking sense.
Right. I have
clock.
No idea how the reversing
the
Earth's polarity or whatever it's supposed to have that effect, but apparently it just fucks with the clock and makes
the
everyone
clock's not
lose
the,
their balance. I don't know.
The clock's not the craziest one. The cash register opens
oh, yeah.
and all the money flies out of
yep.
it for no reason.
Well, it's because you see, because of all that magnetic storm, it affected Wall Street and it just reversed all the cash flow in the world. And now all the
okay.
money that was going one way is going back the other way. It's really weird.
So,
and it's,
so do human beings in Angel Grove have that sense that migratory birds have where they can, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, right?
Well.
They have that, like, that magnetic organ that lets them orient themselves and keep their equilibrium, and it's all out of whack now.
Yeah. So, Bulk
but
and
so,
Skull...
Well, quick thing about Ernie's cash register. Apparently it's got nothing but ones in it.
Eh,
I mean,
sense.
On the off chance that he does charge for something, it's probably not very
I mean,
expensive.
Didn't we decide a long ago that this is just a money laundering scheme?
Right.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
true.
But money laundering like, places usually deal in bigger bills than ones.
Yeah, but it's a gym and juice bar. Like, if he had nothing but hundreds, that would be way more suspicious.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Although, okay, working at, like, a small freaking chocolate shop, you'd be surprised how many people pay with a fucking $50 to $100 bill for, like, less than $5 purchase.
Is your chocolate
yeah.
shop a front to launder money?
People are monsters when it comes to cash. I hate
okay,
them.
But you're not answering yeah. my question. No? What? Are you part of organized crime?
All
right.
Why? Are you a cop?
On that silence, let's
I don't
move
think,
on.
I don't think Jules is organized enough to be part of organized crime.
No, that's fair.
Disorganized crime. So at this
but,
point...
So we get Jason, Zach, and Tommy stumbling all over each other. And Zach yells, "I've never seen or felt anything like this before." And that's really romantic for him to say.
Yeah, exactly.
But so basically Jason's like, you know, in his last act as like an actual smart guy who should probably be in charge, is like, "This is fucked up. Let's get to the command center."
Yeah.
Yeah. Which he yells in a crowded
room. Like, out loud.
Also, there's a scene where... Room, okay, yeah. Oh, wait. Did we even... No, we're not yet at the scene with Balkan Skull and the Bear. All right.
Well, now
oh,
we are.
Oh,
and
I'm
it's...
sorry. I just caught in the background of that same shot, Richie and Ernie, like, holding onto each other to try to keep their balance. And Ernie's fucking face is incredible.
So, now we cut to Balkan Skull, who are convinced that what is happening is because they successfully, quote, contacted the Power Rangers. I don't
yep.
really understand how they jumped to that conclusion, but whatever.
I mean, in the same way they jumped to the conclusion that their random mishmash of yard sale reject objects could contact them in the first place.
Right. And then we get easily the best scene of the episode.
Easily
the best
stop laughing.
Easily the best suit acting in this episode.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, so before that shows up, what happens is Bulk and Skull get... Because this is totally how magnets work.
Yep.
Bulk and Skull get stuck together.
Oh, I thought they were just
I don't think,
like
yeah. I don't think that's because
together.
Of the magnets. I think that's just how Bulk and Skull work.
No, but then
the
but then
is they're
like
implying that like they can't
around like they're attached. Like I think he might
yeah,
be
they
right.
Can't, yeah, like Bulk tells Skull to get off of him, and Skull's like, "I'm trying, I can't." Like they're stuck together.
Yeah,
that's Skull's excuse. Skull just wants to hold on to Bulk.
Yeah, exactly. Skull is just wants some PDA, and but anyway,
he finally
like,
has an excuse.
No, yeah. You let go, Bulk.
My,
Also, there's a chair stuck to Bulk's ass now, so they're just all stuck together.
Yep. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, magnetism doesn't work like this. Also, why isn't the bear affected by the magnetism?
Well, I mean, like he looks pretty
pissed.
Bears are
magnet-proof. You should know this. That's
so, hold on.
Safety 101.
That's what makes them so scary. Bears aren't affected by the laws of science.
So what happens is, Bulk and Skull were like, yeah, yeah, we contact the Power Rangers, and then Skull looks behind Bulk and goes, I don't think so, and they, like, do that weird, like, jump up and spin around so that Bulk can look the other way. Yeah, I definitely think they're supposed to be stuck together. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy in a bear suit behind them. And it's like the quality of that reboot of Wicker Man where... Where Nicolas Cage.
Where Nicolas Cage gets in a bear suit and runs across an open field and uppercuts a nun.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that movie. Yeah.
It looks like that, basically. But they're like, oh my god, it's a bear. And it's like, okay, I don't care how much...
They hop away.
I don't care how little of a child you are. You know that's just a man in a bear suit. Like,
yes.
Oh my god. Now I'm just going to be thinking about the Wicker Man all day. Remember that one scene in that movie where he says, step away from the bike, and he like pulls out a Glock.
Yeah.
And he's like, step away from the bike.
And he like jacks that bike.
Take off that stupid man.
Oh my god. This is like interrogating this nun about why this teddy bear is burnt. Bear Ranger. Sorry, I forgot about that, guys.
That's awesome. Yeah. So anyway, this fucking bear, I laughed so hard.
Just because it's a smash cut to bear, like.
Yeah.
Well, and the guy, like, he isn't even really making realistic bear motions. He looks more like he's trying to do some sort of weird dance.
He's it got his literally paws looks- like he just doesn't care.
It looks like he's missing a sign to spin around to advertise for something.
He's advertising behind
all the bears. He lost because of the magnetism.
So,
he's trying
anyway,
to raise general bear awareness, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hello, I'm a bear. We exist. So,
Bulk and Skull, only you can prevent forest fires.
Fuck, run!
Yeah,
oh man, the forests are fucked.
Their device is actually a huge fire hazard, and he is trying to stop them from like burning down the infinite forest.
This right. Smokey the Bear ARG's gone way out of it. Hand.
So, okay, the Kimberly is like, oh, I don't think this is a normal storm. Let's all run for cover and take shelter. We get a quick shot of Zed saying, this is awesome, this is the best, everybody's in chaos, and I can finally get rid of that irritating pink ranger. And then let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. As I said, unfortunately, that's all the audio that we have that makes any sense. What that means is that I'm now going to just try to tell you what happens the rest of the episode to the best of my memory, so this might not go very well at all. Okay, so Kimberly's in the forest with the kids and her friend, Laura, who's basically a robot with no personality. There is this weird solar storm, which is essentially like bad distortion on the film is the effect, and also everybody just waving around in the air like they don't care, even though they do very much. And she, Kimberly says, oh shit, I gotta go to the command center, and she teleports away. Her friend tries to keep the kids calm by making them sing On Top of Spaghetti, which is kind of a weird song choice in the event of the end of the world. I don't think I'd go with maybe like End of the World as We Know It, or I don't know, something like that. But anyway, so she teleports to the command center. At this point, this is the part where I'm not so sad we lost the audio, because, hey, you guys know what happens, right? They explain the idea of the monster to the Rangers through the viewing globe. They decide we gotta go kill it, etc., etc. The only thing that's different this time is that everybody has to stay behind except Tommy to help work on the polarity fixing machine with Billy, but also because Tommy isn't in the same footage as the other Rangers, and I don't think they'd figure that out yet at this point. So Tommy has to go fight Goldar and protect the kids while the rest of the Rangers go fight the Magnet Monster, because that's the footage they already had. There is a really cool nod real quick here that Jules pointed out when we were first recording, which is that when all the Rangers except Tommy go to confront the Magnet Monster, they actually do the Die Ranger pose, which looks really different and weird, and we weren't sure why they were doing it, but it's a cool nod to the series that they were kind of replacing here with the Power Rangers season 2. So they do the Die Ranger pose. We cut back to Tommy, who just straight up flies at Goldar, which was not a power that we knew he had. I mean, remember that they just discovered wirework, but he literally flies like fucking Raiden doing his Superman move in Mortal Kombat. I can make more Mortal Kombat references now that nobody else is here to stop me. Anyway, They fight for a while. He defeats the putties and Goldar and sends them packing and saves the kids. Hooray! And Laura, hooray! Less hooray. That's not as important. In the fight with the other Rangers, the Rangers fight all the putties. There's actually some cool stuff in this fight. I would recommend watching it. There's one kind of weird shot where... Well, actually, there's a bunch of, like, reverse footage in this fight where Jason, like, jumps up super high, a.k.a. he jumped off of something and then they reversed it. A bunch of stuff like that. It's just, like, weird, fun fight stuff. They also defeat the monster. I'm sorry, that's not true. What happens is that they try to shoot the Magnet Monster, who shoots magnet beams at them, at their blade blasters, and, like... It says he reverses the polarity of their blade blasters, which makes their guns explode in their hands, which makes no fucking sense, but whatever, okay, fine. Then they combine all of their individual weapons to use the Mega Blaster, which they haven't done in for fucking ever, and also you can really tell the quality of the footage is not there. You know, the Jutsu stuff looked better, the American stuff looks even better than that, and when they cut back all the way to the original Zhu footage to show the Mega Blaster, it just looks really terrible. So they blast the shit out of the Magnet Monster, and Zed uses his Grow Grenade to, quote-unquote, increase the magnitude. There's a bunch of bad magnet jokes. The Magnet Monster says, "This will give me some serious pull." Ha 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 ha. They summon the Thunder Megazord, and it's not even a, they're actually on screen with the fucking monster this time, but there's just not that much to it. There's one cool move where the Magnet Monster throws a magnet at the Thunder Megazord and kind of, like, binds him up with it, but they just rip it in half, which I guess makes it stop magnetizing. I don't think that's how that works, but whatever, it's fine. Then they just use their finishing move and kill him. No Tiger Sword this episode, which is a huge bummer for me. We fucking love that thing. And that's it for the monster. Like, there's not that much to the fights in this one, honestly. We missed the sweet Dunkaroos joke I referenced earlier. But basically, okay, I'm going to give you a rundown of this joke. Because it was good, and I'm sad about it. Here's what happened. Jules doesn't know what Dunkaroos are. You guys remember Dunkaroos? There were these, like, little... They're cookies shaped like kangaroos, and you could dump them into icing, and also they're real bad Australian cultural appropriation, but they didn't have them in Australia, and Jules didn't know about them, and we explained it, and she got upset, and then Simon told me that they still have Dunkaroos in Canada, so if you want Dunkaroos, and you live in the United States where they've been canceled, you should contact Simon. He's at Simbin on Twitter, and get him to fucking railroad you some smuggle you some illegal Dunkaroos, and you can have just yourself a tasty treat. Anyway, that's not important. Well, it is important, but let's move on. We go back to the gym and juice bar. All the kids get their merit badges for courage, which is instead of the one that they went to go get, because they didn't panic in a serious situation, is the explanation given. All the little kids are like, well, the best part was the White Ranger, because they're already setting you up to love the White Ranger the most. Also, we cut over and we see all the kids who aren't Kimberly sitting there with Ricky and also Curtis, because I guess they just hadn't decided those characters didn't matter anymore. But they're all watching Kim give these badges. And then Bulk and Skull walk in and they are freaked out because they almost got murdered by a bear. And all the little children are like, no, no, you're crazy. You're making it up. And basically, these little kids gaslight Bulk and Skull, who almost got eaten, because that's hilarious, you guys. Then Laura walks over to Billy and is like, hey, Billy, I think that stupid thing you're holding that looks like a dumb magnet is, like, really cool. And I want you to show me how it works, because I'm a characterless love interest. And they walk off together to bone, I guess. And then you just see another shot of the kids messing with Bulk and Skull and being jerks to them. And they're kind of creepy because they're like all not groping. They're not groping Bulk and Skull. That's not true. They're grouped up around Bulk and Skull and just kind of like, but you're okay. It'll be okay. And like petting them. I don't like it. It kind of creeped me out. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. I think we talked about, there was something else. We talked about Dunkaroos for a long time. And then, I don't know. You guys, my memory is so fucking short-term at this point. I barely remember what I have for breakfast. And, oh, right, nothing. I didn't eat this morning. That might be part of why the memory is going. Anyway, this stream of consciousness thing was a fun experiment, but I think I'm done now. So, thanks again for hanging in there with us. You should check us out on audioentropy.com. Check out our other podcasts that don't fuck up as much as we do, because we are terrible and awful. But I do hope you enjoyed this one. I hope you enjoyed the bonus episode we put up earlier this week. And we're going to fix our stupid recording solutions so we don't have this problem anymore. So until next week, 14 Years of Attitude, I've been Zach. Oh, God, it's so lonely. May the power protect you always.
Clap!